the substitute for the substitute. In some places, you might be known as the bench warmer. My commitment to you this evening is that I am glad to be able to spend a few minutes and share God's Word with you. The message I've prepared for this evening is not intended to address concerns that some people might have about a particular issue. You'll know that in just a minute. So I'm going to give some disclaimers as we go through. But it's intended to be a very positive and upbeat opportunity for us as members of the Lord's Church. I hope you'll appreciate and share with me as we go to God's Word to learn about an opportunity that we as Christians have. Now, by show of hands, I'd like for you not to be shy. Raise your hand. If I mention the name Paul Harvey, how many people know who I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Oh, we've got some good. There's a big hole over here. And y'all never heard of Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey was a radio commentator and personality. He was born in 1918. He died in 2009. He was a conservative American radio broadcaster for the ABC Radio Network. He broadcast a program every morning and at noon called News and Comment. It was on every day. He had a famous story on a program Monday through Fridays that was broadcast, and it was known as The Rest of the Story. From the 1950s through the 1990s, so 40 years, over 40 years, Paul Harvey was on the radio. And those of us that raised our hands that know Paul Harvey, I'd be willing to say a majority of us have a favorite Paul Harvey story that we heard. He made a real impact on people's lives. And I know people that would make sure they were at their radio at 12:15 or whatever time Paul Harvey came on so that they could hear Paul Harvey news. He used to reach 24 million people a week. That's amazing. His program was carried on 1,200 radio stations, 400 Armed Forces Network stations, and in 300 newspapers. And I'm sure somewhere they're still replaying Paul Harvey. It was amazing. The rest of the story was an outgrowth of one of Paul's famous lines. See, he would tell a story. He would have you engaged in that story, and you'd hear all these interesting facts. And then right at the end, he'd say, "In a moment, we'll come back for the rest of the story." And he always had a zinger. He always came back, and there was always something that you didn't expect, that you didn't know, usually something very uplifting, either the person or the comment or something about that story. Well, I was thinking about Paul Harvey. His broadcast always ended with the tagline, "And now you know the rest of the story." I was thinking about that this afternoon. The reason I'm your speaker this evening is I was the last one to leave the building and the only one Robert could catch up with, I believe. But I was thinking about Paul Harvey in the context of what we in the world are going to see happen over the next 12 days. Because in the next 12 days, the world is going to celebrate one of the greatest events in the history of creation. They're going to celebrate something right out of the pages of God's holy word. Of course, I'm talking about the birth of Jesus Christ, and the world refers to it as Christmas. Interesting. Christmas, or Christmas Day, actually means Christ Mass, and it's described in the dictionary as an annual festival commemorating the birth of Jesus Christ. The description goes on to say it's observed most commonly, but not by all, on December the 25th. It's a religious and cultural celebration among billions of people around the world. It's a public holiday in most of the world's nations. It's celebrated culturally by large numbers of people who aren't claiming to be Christians. And it's an integral part of what's referred to as the holiday season. And yet, we don't know on what day Jesus was born. But I can say with some certainty that it was not December the 25th. That's not the focus of our lesson tonight. And this is not Ken's anti-Christmas message. And I don't want anybody to feel that way. I mean, it's important for us as the Lord's church to recognize and understand what's going on in the world. Christmas and the Christmas season, because of gift-giving and many other aspects of this Christmas festival, have become the ultimate economic activity, and the holiday has become a significant event for retailers and business. For many businesses, if they don't make their money and their profit in the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, they go out of business. So it's an important event from an economic standpoint. It's an important factor and has grown so much over the past few centuries all over the world that you can't deny the existence of this celebration. By the early to mid 4th century, the church, which had apostatized at that time, created Christmas. There are a lot of reasons why, a lot of speculation, a lot of theories about why December the 25th was chosen. I'm not going to go into all those tonight because that's not the focus of what we're talking about. But I would say that the majority of people celebrating in the next 12 days the event that is known as Christmas, and they think of it as Jesus' birthday, are completely and totally uninformed and unaware of the history of this event. They don't know what they're celebrating in reality, but their intent is to celebrate something wonderful and something beautiful out of God's holy word. Now, we as Christians know that Jesus' birth was a wonderful blessing to mankind. And we too should be joyous that Jesus was born. And in many ways, the world's celebration, they get a lot of the facts correct. Some of them, not so much. But they get a lot of them correct. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was born to a virgin, Mary. He was the son of Joseph and Mary, and he was born in a manger, and he went on to become the Savior of the world. They got that right. But God commands that when we worship him in spirit and truth, John 4 and 24. God has always directed his people to worship him in a specific manner. In Galatians 4, verses 8 through 11, we read, "But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God and are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years." Paul tells the church in Galatia, "I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain." In Mark chapter 7, verses 6 through 8, the Lord says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men." See, it's not the traditions of men that God wants us to follow. in Acts chapter 20, verse 7 through 8. By example, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. God wants us to worship Him on the first day of the week, as we have done already today, and some will do this evening, to gather around the table and to remember Jesus. God wants us to assemble as we're doing now to worship Him, to hear His word proclaimed, to sing songs of praise, to approach His throne in prayer. That's how God wants us to worship Him, not the traditions of men. The Bible does not teach nor condone the celebration of Jesus' birth in the manner of the world today. I just want that to be out there and everyone to understand. But as part of the Holy Bible, Jesus' birth is something that we should appreciate and be thankful for 365 days a year. I've spent most of my life avoiding any association of this holiday with Christianity. I was blessed to be born into a Christian home, and we didn't celebrate Christ's birthday on December the 25th, but it's always been a time where our family shared a special time, and we shared love and devotion for one another. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we attach no religious significance to this holiday. But brethren, I'm imploring with each and every one that's in this room tonight, seize the opportunity. The world around us, one of the few times during the year where they act like they even heard of God's Word, and people are talking about Jesus Christ. The context may not be what we want it to be, but let's realize that we're often hindered from discussing anything of a religious nature with those we come in contact with. It's become politically incorrect to say anything about it at work or at school or in any other environment. And yet, for this window of time, billions of people around the world are talking about Jesus. What a tremendous opportunity. What an opportunity that we should seize. And in the manner of Paul Harvey, and now for the rest of the story. Because that's what we can say to those that are talking about Jesus, talking about 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It doesn't matter what day He was born on. They're talking about Jesus. He was born in a manger in Bethlehem. And the world is talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And brethren, they need to know the rest of the story. This is our opportunity. In a few months, many of those people are going to, again, observe the events around Jesus' death. Whole segments of our society revolve around these two events in the life of our Savior, His birth and His death. And while we do not hold the traditions of men, we should seize the opportunity for them to know the rest of the story. This evening there are three great events that complete this wonderful story that I want us to think about. I want you to think about. I want you to be prepared to complete the rest of the story. Now's the time for us to engage someone who has their mind on something spiritual. Now's the time to let them know that Jesus' birth and death are only the beginning of a wonderful, wonderful story. Now is the time to show them why Jesus' birth and death will lead to the most wonderful gift of all, eternal life. The first of these three events, you probably know what I'm going to say. The first of these three events, Jesus arose. He did not stay in the tomb. In Matthew 28, 1 and 2, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Verses 5 and 6, they were told, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said." Mark chapter 16, verses 2 and 3, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And in verse 6, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here." In Luke's account, chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, "Now on the first day of the week, and very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared." Verses 6 and 7, "He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" John chapter 20, "Then the same day at evening, being first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." Jesus is risen. That's the first part of the rest of the story that the world needs to know. The second of these events, Jesus ascended into heaven. John chapter 20 and verse 17, Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God.'" In that wonderful account in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Jesus ascended into heaven. And the third of these three events, Jesus is coming again. He's coming back. Continuing in Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, "And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi in Philippians 1, verses 3 through 7, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time." Jesus is coming back. The third point that we need to let people know is that he's coming back. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and the mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Verse 58, to us, every one of us here, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Brethren, I would suggest to you that as billions of people around the world talk about Jesus Christ, the field is ripened to harvest. The opportunities are numerous. You may never have the same opportunity to pick up God's Word, the very book that they're reading from, and share with them the rest of the story. Let's make sure that all of our friends, our family, have an opportunity to hear about the resurrection, the ascension, and the glorious return of Jesus Christ. And in conclusion this evening, what I would say to you is, in the words of Paul Harvey, and now you know the rest of the story. Let's make sure that we tell the rest of the story to everyone we come in contact with. Because it's through the words of the Bible, it's through words of Jesus Christ, that they too can receive the greatest gift known to mankind. If they'll repent of their sins, if they'll confess His name, be baptized in the waters of baptism, and live a Christian life, they can get the greatest gift, the one that many of us are looking forward to enjoying for eternity. This evening, if you're not a Christian, please don't leave until you've availed yourself of this wonderful gift of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian and you've fallen short, if you need to make your life right, now is the time to do that. We're going to stand and we're going to sing to encourage you. If you need to respond, please come.